Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Happy draft day, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 25th, here on our WWL draft special. Steve Geller and Charlie Long bringing it until 9 p.m. this evening and handing it over to the LSU baseball celebration at Alec Box Stadium. A replay of that will be going on 8 p.m., but we'll have that on tape delay for you after we get through our musings over the round one of the NBA draft. Pelicans holding picks number 7 and 23 this evening, and I know, like me, Charlie, you got to be, you know, just chomping at the bit to finally figure out who this team is selecting instead of all the speculation about the right fit, who's going to be available, are they going to trade up. We get all the answers tonight, at least in round one.
Yeah, you can say what you will about Joe Dumars and, you know, the first year under the Pelicans as the lead executive, but he's been aggressive early on, you know, sending that 2026 Indiana pick to Indiana in return for the 23rd overall pick tonight. And now you have two first-round picks. And then he makes the trade yesterday, the blockbuster trade, sending C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk in a future second to Washington. And in that trade, you get back Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the 40th overall pick. So you have a pick tomorrow night as well. Three top 40 picks, Steve. So it's going to be a lot of excitement and really, really excited to dive into it.
That's definitely been a lot of the talk today around NBA circles, that trade that happened.
Yeah.
And the addition of Jordan Poole to this roster, who it seems to be a very polarizing figure.
Yes.
Either, like, people love him or they dislike this prospect.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Steve, where people either think that he has that high ceiling as a player that he was kind of trending towards when he was at Golden State as the third best player on a championship team back in 2021-22, or they think he's just what you saw kind of early on in his Washington Wizards career, where the Wizards weren't doing anything and he was putting up kind of the numbers, but it was almost empty numbers where you're not really contributing to winning and the quote-unquote ego and stuff like that. So that's the divide, is people either think he's a really exciting player or they think he's not a winning player. So we'll see what ultimately ends up happening with him here, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. Joe Dumars getting underway really early, kind of making all these moves, starting to form out this roster and his image. And obviously three picks tonight. We'll see if they keep all three of them. But if they do, Joe Dumars has a chance to really kind of refresh this roster with young talent that he believes in.
The number one pick in the draft, Dallas Mavericks end up winning the lottery. And wouldn't you know, after they got rid of one superstar, it looks like they're going to have another one incoming.
You know, Steve, I remember we did the live reaction to the lottery.
And you were definitely teed off.
I was. But that's, you know, you're looking at it and you see San Antonio jump up all the way to two, where, and we'll talk more about this, it feels like the top of this draft is kind of obviously Cooper Flagg, and then that's his own kind of tier, right?
Yeah.
And then Dylan Harper, the point guard, kind of combo guard, but more of a point guard from Rutgers, is kind of in the second tier by himself. And then there's another break, and then you get to three and beyond. And what's going to happen?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. In all honesty, really, the draft starts tonight with the Philadelphia 76ers at pick three, in my opinion, because the first two picks should be locked in because they're both in their own tier by themselves with Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper. But yeah, the Dallas Mavericks with a sub 2% chance to win the lottery end up doing it. It's just miraculous. Miracles happen in the NBA.
Although talking to NBA scout Mark Cook yesterday, he had mentioned that the San Antonio Spurs were high on Malouch.
Malouch. So it's definitely interesting because as soon as you mentioned that, my eyes just like turn into dinner plates. I was like, I haven't heard anything about this. Everything that's been happening so far has been Dylan Harper's going to be the pick at two, and then you're going to have the core of Wemby and Stephon Castle and Dylan Harper to build around for the future, as well as, you know, good point guard with De'Aaron Fox. And I think the more kind of question mark is, can Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox coexist on that Spurs roster? I think it will be okay. You know, if you're looking more towards the long-term projections for the Spurs, it's going to be Dylan Harper kind of as that lead guard. And, the comp for him, Steve, Cade Cunningham, is what I've heard a lot. And Cade Cunningham, obviously for NBA fans, they saw what he did with the Detroit Pistons this year, leading them to their playoffs and really giving the Knicks a run for their money in the first round.
An interesting name in this draft that there's been all over the draft boards, I feel like, is the Rutgers forward in Ace Bailey.
Yeah.
And there's been anywhere from a top five pick to maybe even falling past the Pelicans.
So I think if he's there, I don't think you pass up on him. We have a bite from Nick Friedell that we'll get to in just a second here where he talks about Ace Bailey. Entering the year, it was Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey is like 1A, 1B
right,
as far as the top draft prospects entering the class.
Really questionable advice that Bailey's been getting.
It's the whole thing. Sharif Cooper's dad is his agent. And Sharif Cooper, for those that remember, was drafted a couple years ago and really flamed out of the NBA very quickly. And so it's definitely a strange thing that the advice that he's been getting hasn't been great. Like, he's refused to work out with the Philadelphia 76ers in the pre-draft process. And even though he may be the third best player in this draft class, and one of the highest ceilings in this draft class, regardless of where he's technically ranked in the top five, he could slide a little bit because he's turned some teams off with how he's handled the pre-draft process. It's been more of an ego thing. He's almost kind of pigeonholed himself to saying, I want to go to Washington. I want to go to New Orleans.
We did have a private workout.
Or I want to go to Brooklyn. I've heard that he's had a couple private workouts. We're not exactly sure which teams it was. But I've heard he has actually had a couple private workouts, despite the reports early on that he hadn't worked out with any teams. So, you know, he's going to get selected tonight. It'll be interesting to see what the slide is because I don't expect him to go three. I don't expect him to go four. And then, maybe five is the start. I think six is really kind of the starting point for someone like Ace Bailey with the Washington Wizards. And I think that's ultimately going to be the selection. I know that we talked about this yesterday with the Pelicans making that trade with Washington, you know, getting these veteran pieces in place like a CJ McCollum, and then they've also brought in Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton in the past as well, and getting Kelly Olynyk, all these kind of veteran pieces to kind of teach a young guy like Ace Bailey how to be a professional and how to be a consistent pro in the NBA day after day. So I think that's part of their kind of plan. They have a good young core in place in Washington. I think Ace Bailey is going to end up being their pick. But we also talked with Nick Friedell because, you know, there's been some buzz about if the Pelicans would potentially trade up for Ace. I know that there's been different conflicting reports that they either really like Ace, they would be willing to trade up to around pick five to try and select him early in the first round, and then others say that's a little bit overstated. But Nick talked about Ace Bailey and then also drafting for need versus drafting for ceiling in the first round.
Here's that bite.
There's a lot of, I'd say, hype around Ace Bailey and what kind of player he may be. I'm still not sold that he's going to be the kind of difference maker that people might have thought he was coming into last year. But when you have a team that has all these question marks and all the holes that New Orleans does, sometimes it makes sense to just draft based on the highest possible talent level that you got. And there are people that go both directions on Bailey, but the talent still appears to be there. It's trying to figure out who could potentially, down the line, become one of those players that you can build around. So is he that guy? Who knows? And anybody who tells you they know, guys, as I've learned with the draft, they're lying to you after pick one or two, because Cooper Flagg is going to be a superstar and Dylan Harper is a really solid player. After that, it's kind of like, who knows? But if you're the Pelicans, I wouldn't draft for need, because you have so many different holes on this roster. Whoever you think is the best talent, take the swing and hope for the best.
It seems to be the general philosophy in any draft is you take best available player. Don't be trying
especially
to draft for a certain position.
NBA, especially in the NBA. But that's what's really fascinating about pick seven for the Pelicans right now is I think that there is a player that could kind of fit both kind of holes at center and drafting for ceiling. And we'll get to that in just a little bit here.
Taking a break here on our special edition of Sports Talk live at the Pelicans facility for our NBA draft coverage. Going to return right after this, so stay tuned on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more of our coverage right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back into WWL's draft coverage. We are here at the Pelicans facility gearing up for the start. Things are tipping off 7 p.m. Probably get the first pick in around 7:10, 7:15-ish.
Yeah.
And then things are rolling 5 minutes between each pick, and we'll be bringing it to you all night long here until 9 p.m., and then we'll go to LSU Baseball's coverage of their championship celebration at the box.
And there's so many times that with the NBA draft, you just know who the first pick is going to be. And, like, why are we even waiting for this? Just say Cooper Flagg is going to the Mavericks.
Right, we're open for business, and boom, here are the Dallas Mavericks to announce their pick.
Yeah, no, it's just going to take forever and forever and forever. They're not going to move the pick unless, you know, I think they would run that GM out of town, Nico Harrison, if he trades the first overall pick after what happened with Luka Doncic just a few months ago.
Right, trade Luka and then Flagg. Forget about it.
Oh, it's a disaster. But, guys, you know, I talked a little bit about it leading into the break that I think that there's a player that kind of fits both A, going for the ceiling that Friedel was just talking about before we hit the break, and also the kind of hole at center, and that's Kaman Malawach. I brought it up during, you know, the triple option segment. This is a guy that is ready to be an NBA defensive player right off the bat. NBA shot blocker. He's got great size. He's already 7'2". He's got the 7'7" wingspan. 18 years old from South Sudan. He is a freak athlete and someone that could potentially develop into a really good offensive player as well. You know, all the pre-draft reports talking about him being able to shoot is just stunning to me because you watch his tape at Duke and he's not really doing any of it, but he wasn't really asked to do any of it because Duke was so loaded at the guard position, at the wing position. Cooper Flagg and Konka Knipple are both going to be likely top five picks in this draft as well. So, you know, he's a really, really fascinating prospect to me because he could potentially fill that center void and also have that high ceiling that Friedel was talking about. But here's Friedel on talking about Kaman Malawach.
When you watched Duke, what you saw was a very big man who could get up and down the floor. But as you mentioned, what you're hearing now is, all right, there's a little bit more to his game. And that's where we started the conversation on this is where you've really got to trust your scouts and your coaches. Because if you believe that he can take Malawach, take that next step and become more of an offensive, I don't want to say force, but somebody that you aren't going to lose much when you have him on the floor, well, then, yeah, why not? I mean, the dude is huge. He can come in right away and get you minutes, and he can grow into his body being so young still, on top of the fact that if there is some offensive game there, you allow yourself another weapon down low that that team clearly hasn't had in a little bit. When you're trying to figure out which direction teams go, this is where you've got to trust that the scouts that have been on these guys and watching them all year long, they know exactly what to do, and they believe in certain guys. And whoever New Orleans lands with, you can rest assured that they've been really having those conversations in the draft room going, all right, this is the guy. We believe there's more within. And usually at pick 7, you're going to get a really talented prospect.
Go. So we'll talk about it a little bit more here as the night goes on. But, you know, drafting for ceiling, drafting for filling a hole on your roster, and then also, you know, the potential of someone like Haman Malawach is definitely salivating the more you hear about him in the pre-draft process.
We shall step away, take a break here on WWL's NBA draft coverage. When we get back, we're going to talk to Pelicans TV sideline reporter Andrew Lopez. So stay tuned on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Be right back after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Back on WWL's draft coverage here, Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Happy to welcome into the, I guess we'll call it center of the court, Andrew Lopez, Pelicans TV sideline reporter. How the heck have you been, Andrew?
I've been tired. That's what happens when you have like a five-month-old, apparently. Nobody ever told me that.
Yeah. Welcome to fatherhood, sir.
It's a lot. I'm glad the season ended when it did.
Well, man, what's a lot? Congratulations, obviously, your first season, but man, man, that had to have been a tough haul last year.
It was. Look, man, I'm glad I'm on this side of it. It was nothing but fun being a sideline reporter, hosting the shows. It was a brand new experience, a new way to kind of see a team, and I didn't, you know, it was a different way to cover somebody.
Sure.
It was nicer to do. Now, what I'd like to as I tell somebody, would I have liked to do some more walk-off interviews at the end of games, which means more wins?
Right.
Absolutely. Did it happen? That's okay. We'll get it in the future.
And at least the injury bug didn't hit you either.
Maybe. I don't know. A couple times, I guess.
Well, Andrew, the benefit of going 21-61 is a premium draft pick. Yep. And so this is kind of the reward for the season that the Pelicans just went through. I know that pick 7 wasn't what a lot of folks were hoping for on, you know, lottery night. The lottery ended up playing out the way that it did. But the Pelicans with the 7th overall pick, it's still a premium lottery selection that you're sitting at. And you could potentially get a stud player. So I wanted to throw some names at you and kind of get your thoughts on some prospects ahead of this. Because I think you can kind of narrow down the Pelican selection to a handful of players at this point. You know, we'll see how the first 4 or 5 picks end up going. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you, you know, Steve and I were just talking about Kaman Malawach, the center from Duke, and just an NBA-ready defender, rim protector, rim runner. But now all the reports that he has a potential expanded offensive game, that ceiling becomes pretty salivating.
You know, what he's one of those guys. I think, first of all, when you're at number 7, this is, like, we all know the prize of this draft is Cooper Flagg.
Right.
The second-tier guy is Dylan Harper. And then there's a mix of guys, whether you want to look at it as 5 guys, 8 guys, however it is in that third tier, where you're guaranteed to get one of those guys at number 7, which I think is maybe it's the same kind of guy you would have gotten at number 4. Maybe, you know, you could have been – whoever you end up picking tonight at 7, if the Pels would have had the number 4 spot, and they might have picked the same player, entirely possible,
right?
Just because of how talent is. So with Malawach, I think – he is a guy who, very similar to Eve Meesey from last year, I know there's a lot of folks who kind of got maybe a little tired of us at some point saying, well, he only learned how to play basketball 4 or 5 years or 7 years or whatever it was.
Yes.
It's the same thing with Malawach. He was identified. He's going to be probably the highest draft pick to come out of the NBA Academy in Africa. This is a kid who you got to think of, at 17 years old, made the South Sudanese Olympic team that was in the 2024 Paris Olympics. Got some spot minutes on that team, but you got to think, Luol Deng, who was kind of the GM of that team, thought so much of this kid before he even stepped foot at Duke. He was playing in the Olympics. That's not supposed to happen that way. So the fact that that's the kind of kid, and you see him continuing to grow his game every single time. I think Jonathan Givony went on the number of shows he went on today on ESPN. And was talking about how he remembers seeing him for the first time 4 or 5 years ago. And the kid, he couldn't catch. He couldn't do anything. He was just a raw talent. And you see him growing into the guy he is today, a 7'2" shot blocker who is going to try to expand his offensive game. I think there's a lot of potential there.
I love the fact he's no stick either. He's got some beef to him.
No, he's like 245, 250.
Right, right.
That's the fascinating thing is he was a soccer player is what I had heard until he was like 13 years old. And then he picked up a basketball for the first time. So it is kind of similar with the Eve Meesey story.
Knew some guys who were working the NBA Academy in Africa.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing some clips of this kid when he was 15, 16, 17 years old, kind of going through it, getting on the weights, kind of like seeing him, his body, like just grow into the guy that he is today. So I think the fact that you could see him, you know, possibly being a Pelican, wherever he goes, he's one of those kids that I think that no matter where he goes, and I do think he's going to be a top 10 pick, I'm going to be fascinated to watch him, whether he's here, whether he's anybody else.
Development.
I want to see his story continue.
Yeah, what his ceiling could potentially be. Go ahead, Steve.
Looking at a guy that's, I feel like, you know, a polarizing figure in this draft, Ace Bailey.
Yeah.
The question marks around him basically because not taking those visits or not wanting to talk to teams really seems odd. Advice he's getting from his agents. What do you make of him as a prospect, and do you think he's still going to end up going top 5?
I don't know at this point, because I think everybody in the top 5 is kind of like, well, I want my guy here.
Yeah,
I want somebody who's coming, who's talked to me, but it wouldn't surprise me if Philly still took him at 3.
Yeah.
But the way it kind of shakes out, if he slips, if he falls, the on-the-court talent is there. If this is kind of just, you know, a tactic of, I'm trying to move down, I want to get to where I want to be, cool, but you're also probably costing yourself 15, 20 million.
Wild. Who wants to move down, right?
Down that many spots.
Tactic.
But on the court, let's talk about where he's at.
Yeah.
On the court, I still think he is one of the premier talents in this draft because you saw, look, a lot of what he was bringing to the table initially was because he was listed at 6'10". Because he was originally listed at 6'10", 2'10".
Right.
6'10",
2'10".
He goes to the combine, he measures 6'7 and a half in barefoot, which
right.
I don't understand why you measure basketball players barefoot, because last time I checked,
They wear shoes.
They wear shoes on the court. You should probably, I don't know, measure them in shoes. Maybe that's just me. So let's say he still comes in here. He's 6'9", hair under 6'9", in shoes. He said that he's put on some weight since the end of the season. But let's say he's, you know, he's 220 right now. You saw a guy who was almost that size, liked to live in the mid-range, and what he was able to do for the Pelicans in previous years in Brandon Ingram. And I'm not, that's just kind of where he likes to get his shots from, but he can still shoot it. You know, you want to kind of, I think for a lot of these guys, the Ace Baileys, the Jeremiah Fears, the Trey Johnsons, all of these guys, you look at their shot profile and you look at their shooting percentages in college and you're like, man, you know, this guy looks like he could shoot, but like Jeremiah Fears, he's shooting 28%.
Yeah, from three.
But then you go look at the shots that he's shooting and it's, is he going to take that shot in the NBA?
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey, his year at Kentucky, and this was under Calipari, he shot 29% from three.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Tyrese Maxey any day of the week right now.
Yeah, in a redraft in that year, he's the top three pick.
You hone in what these guys can do from once they get into an NBA program. Okay, maybe that'll jump up a little bit. You're not taking tough shots. You're not looking at a guy who's trying to do everything on an Oklahoma team in the SEC for Fears, or somebody like Ace and Dylan, who you would think if you had guys who were second and third in most NBA ratings on the draft boards, you probably get to the tournament, but you look at whatever, you know, everything else you had. So I think some of these guys, once they get into better situations in the NBA, you're going to see some of those percentages go up and some of those fears of, no pun intended, of their shooting percentages kind of go away.
Yeah, it's interesting because you talk about traits and NBA-ready talent. And when you watch Ace Bailey play, I'm glad that you brought up Brandon Ingram because you see a lot of that in his game with a very advanced offensive game. And it was inconsistent at times. He would have times where he would pop off for 35-plus points in college in different games, and then other times where he'd kind of disappear in a game here and there. But the high-end talent is there. The high-end shot-making is there. The guy is very similar to Brandon Ingram, where he can rise over a defender and hit a really tough contested mid-range shot. And the shot-making is so salivating when you're watching him play because he's so, so talented on the offensive side of the floor. Now, defensively, I know that there's some question marks there. I know that, you know, whichever part of the spectrum you are on, the shot profile. And, and if you think analytically, a lot of the analytics folks aren't big fans of Ace Bailey, but you just watch him play, and he's so advanced offensively. He gets the ball. It's never more than a couple dribbles to get to a spot, and then he rises up and takes a really tough shot that he can just hit. And I just think that Ace Bailey, there's a reason that, you know, maybe he could potentially slide because of how this pre-draft process worked out, but I think he's still clearly the number three prospect in this class.
You know what my favorite shot in basketball is?
What's that?
The one that goes in.
There you go.
I don't care where it comes from.
Yep.
And I think we make too much about this sometimes is – whether it's a corner three or mid, if you're shooting 50% from two, like, okay, shoot the midi.
Yep.
And that's where I think we've seen that kind of go maybe too far one way. If the ball's going to go in, the ball's going to go in. If you're going to go out there and give me 25 a game, okay, cool. You want guys taking efficient shots, but if that's a shot that he works on, that's a shot that's in his game, you do it. I go back to that Patrick Ewing clip from a couple years ago where he's yelling at the kid on the base, like, when do you practice that shot? When do you shoot that shot?
What kind of shot is that?
None. You don't. Okay. If you're doing that, and that's what we see Ace Bailey do. He's talked about the fact that he practices that shot. He goes, and that's going to be part of his game. And I think as long as you're working on stuff that you're going to use in games, it's one of my biggest pet peeves watching the NBA is you go out and you watch sometimes, just guys even warming up. Then you're watching guys who, I'm like, you're never going to shoot that shot. And like, what are we – like, it's one of the things I loved last year about Karlo Mackovich when he got his chance to play. When he was on the floor, every time he would come out, like, he'd go through his full warm-up, but in pregame and halftime, he would go and get his shots, and he would go from the right corner, go from the left corner, because he knew those were the shots that he needed to work on because he was going to get a chance to hit those in the game. And I think that goes a long way in the NBA.
You look at tonight, obviously exciting because there's two draft picks right now that the Pelicans hold in round one, but it's also the start of a new era with Joe Dumars here. Just your initial impressions of what he's bringing into this organization that might have been missing.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm glad he got a second pick because I think it gives you a lot of flexibility in what you're able to do in the first round. Now you go from 7 to 23, or having 7 and 23 now. Didn't like it that we had already recorded a draft show for Gulf Coast Sports Entertainment Network that we had to reshoot the next day.
Yeah.
do you know, right?
After
that
news broke.
It's always terrible timing.
I'm glad to come back in here and talk basketball anytime.
Right.
But I think what he has done, the number one thing is he gives you flexibility, and now you can do some different things. You're not man, you really need this eight, whatever this team need is, at seven.
Make it happen,
you
right?
You have to go, and maybe you get a guy that's – you jump a couple of spots on your board because you know you have to have it. You don't have anything else. Well, now you have some options behind that. Mm-hmm. And so being able to do that, I think just that's a plus going into it. When he was hired, he sat in here and we talked about the fact that, you know, this was a guy who was on the bad boy Pistons. He doesn't know how to, you know, he's like, I only know if you're going to play hard, you're going to work hard, all that kind of stuff. And I think he's going to try to make this team in his image and do that from the jump.
Yeah. Love hearing that.
Building a culture and building an identity, right? That's exactly what Joe Dumars can do here. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about another prospect that I think I've heard a lot of buzz about is Derek Queen from Maryland. You know, part of the Crab Five on that Terrapin team that made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament. Very, very exciting group of players. And Derek Queen is someone, you know, you hear the comps and he's like a 6'9", maybe borderline 6'10" type of guy that can play the four, can play the five in different situations. And you hear the comps about his really advanced offensive game. And we saw the game winner that he hit in March Madness. Yep. He's a really, really fun player to watch, really exciting player.
Sorry to any Colorado State fans out there who are still
apologize
watching it. Or anybody who picked Colorado State in their bracket, which is probably more of you.
Exactly. So, but, I mean, Derek Queen is definitely a fascinating prospect as well, just because of his really advanced offensive game.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, you've seen him described as probably the most skilled offensive big in this draft. And you've seen what he was able to do, and you start looking at how he changed his shot profile toward the end of the season. It's almost like he was going into conference tournaments, and he had, I think, 2 3-pointers made at that point. And somebody in the conference, like going into conference tournaments, like, hey, man, you almost start shooting a little bit like you can. Right. And then he hits 5 over the course of 4 games. I think in the last game in the Big 10 tournament, and then in the NCAA tournament. So you started to see that, and I'm sure that's something that he has been developing in his game right now. What is he? And I think as you get more into positionless basketball, is he a 4? Is he a 5? I mean, some of the comps out there, I mean, you've heard Naz Reid, if the shot continues to grow. You get
the high
Naz.
End stuff
you get,
is there's, really interesting.
It gets up there. And I think even at his floor, he's probably a guy who's going to be in the league for a while as a third big who can score off the bench because you can see what he can do. And it's not necessarily all predicated on he's not getting dunks. I think he had 17 dunks in half-court settings this year. So it's not like he's got touch. We know what it's like to watch a big who has touch around the rim and how important that can be at times. So what he can bring on the offensive end is very exciting. And I think this is for a lot of these. And this is most times there's only so many times you get a Herb Jones or an Evan Mobley or somebody who can make a defensive impact at a high level right away. All of these guys are going to have to make an adjustment on the defensive end, but anything he can bring on the offensive end is, you look at it and you can see a pretty high ceiling.
You mentioned Cooper Flagg, obviously the star of this draft, and right under that, Dylan Harper. Is there anyone for you in that, you know, the group afterwards that kind of has grabbed your attention that you're really interested in and think that is going to be a potential, you know, starter in the NBA? I won't even say star.
I mean, I like VJ Edgecombe. I like the how he was able to kind of bring himself and kind of turn himself into a top five pick. It started with him being on the Bahamian national team last year and kind of rolling that in. You know, let's say Malawach goes, you know, in that 7, 8, 9, 10 range. He's still probably the third Duke kid off the board because Colin Knipple is going to be there.
Yep,
and
right.
He's a guy who is going to shoot the lights out anytime he's on the floor. So he's another guy who I think is really going to stand out. Once you get to kind of the back end, there's a couple. I think you're going to start to see more of this now in the NIL era because you're going to have guys who are maybe would think about being one and dones, but if I can go back to school and make 7 figures, maybe I put off going there. So now you're going to start to see guys who are, you know, 22, 23, super senior to kind of guys trying to trickle in. So if you're picking at, I don't know, say 23, you're going to find some guys who can probably still come in and contribute right away because they're older, more mature, understand the game a little bit better than maybe what we've seen in previous drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess Colin Knipple is an interesting name to bring up. And I'll ask you about him, but I also wanted to ask you about one other player, and I'll throw it. So I guess it's like a 2-part question here. Knipple, the thing that you hear about him is people will criticize his athleticism. I don't really understand that. Mm-hmm. I think that he's like if you talk about high floor, the word safe comes up. Yes. Kokkinipple. Like, this is a guy that's going to play a decade in the NBA. And that's why, you know, you might see him go at pick 4 to Charlotte, or you may see him go kind of earlier on than the Pelicans at pick 7, just because you know what you're getting with him. He's a very connective piece. He may not ever be the superstar level talent, but he's going to be a good player for a long time in the NBA. The kind of higher ceiling play that I'm really fascinated in that's typically been in top 5 picks as far as mock drafts go is Trey Johnson, the shooting guard from Texas. When I was talking about Ace Bailey earlier, talking about taking tough shots and making tough shots, the same as can be said for Trey Johnson. He is an NBA-ready shooter. He puts the ball in the basket, and as you mentioned, you just want to see the guys get it through.
Let's start with Khan. I think, you know, he could end up being like the Plumleys, just because I think he's got a ton of brothers who are also very high level.
Oh, yeah.
Who could end up being in the NBA in the next 10 years, so you could have a whole lineup of them at some point. But Trey Johnson is one of these guys where you look at it and you look at his shooting percentages and you worry about the efficiency, but you look at the shot making and it's there. And again, sometimes you just need to take a guy like that and then just figure out, okay, let's get you into a proper setting. All of these guys, you know, outside of the fact, I mean, Dylan and Ace are 1A, 1B.
Right.
You know, Khan was obviously, you know, you're playing second fiddle to Cooper Flagg, but most of these guys are still, they're the number one guys on their teams. They're the number one options most of the time. They're going to be shots that you take that are probably just not going to be there when you play an NBA game. You don't have to take those. All these guys are going to get so many more open shots when you're playing in it. Let's just, if you're coming here, you're playing in a lineup with Zion Williamson, with Trey Murphy. Like, you're going to have space to shoot the ball. And I think, you know, you could worry about shot profiles. That changes for guys all the time. You're running different things that you're running in college that you're going to run in the NBA. You'll figure some stuff out.
Andrew, definitely appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us before the madness tips off here. Looking forward to getting the action going, though. All the speculation finally ends tonight of what's going to happen.
No more mock drafts after.
Please, right. And I'm all done. The rumors about trading up or trading down.
Done.
Andrew Lopez, the Pelicans TV sideline reporter, joining us right there. We're going to take a break here on WWL's NBA draft coverage. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Just moments away from the NBA draft tipping off finally. Round one gets started tonight, and then round two of the NBA draft tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. You keep it locked right here on WWL. What do you think, Charlie, about the two-day event now? I think it's much better, so we're not talking about hoops until, like, you know, midnight, 1 in the morning.
I think it's fun. And the funny thing is, I think it was Josh Hart that had tweeted out, just like, when did this happen? When did we change to a two-day kind of draft festivities?
Well, yesterday, the round two was, like, in the afternoon, right?
Well, that was what happened last year. Was I think it started.
That was odd. I didn't
early,
like that.
Early. But, no, I'm right there with you. Having it be a two-night thing, I think it's pretty
prime
interesting.
Prime time, right.
I know that, you know, the first round, and it's specifically the lottery, is obviously the most important part of any NBA draft. And the second round is more of, like, kind of day three of the NFL draft is kind of a comparison there.
Sure.
Where you're just kind of throwing darts and seeing what you can potentially hit. And so I still think it's pretty fun. It's a good idea by the NBA. You know, I'm glad that they kind of stretch it out a little bit here. But I'm right there with you. I'm glad that it's a night event tomorrow as well.
Yeah, it just makes more sense. To me, having the round two, putting that in the afternoon on a Thursday, you're kind of treating it like a second-class citizen.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. But, I'm, you know, as far as the Pelicans with pick 40 tomorrow, I think you should be able to get that in before the end of the show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, because the picks are like 2 minutes in between for the second round, whereas tonight I think it's going to start out kind of a little bit longer, and then it's going to end up being basically like 5 minutes in between picks.
What's going to be interesting this evening, though, is all the potential trades going on that could reset that clock.
I am watching, obviously, the Pelicans, but also Brooklyn, who has 5 first-round picks. They own a sixth of tonight's draft picks. I don't know if they're going to make all 5 selections.
I can't imagine they do.
It would be very, very hectic for Brooklyn media, I can imagine. But we'll just have to see what they end up doing, because, you know, 5 first-round draft picks, yes, this is a Brooklyn team that needs a lot of talent. But at the same time, like, we're talking about their first pick is at 8, and then they have a bunch of picks in the 20s. And maybe they try to package a couple of those to move up in this year's draft, or maybe they try to get some more picks in, like, future drafts or something like that with the picks that they own this year. But they're definitely the team to watch if you're looking for trades. And, you know, we'll also see what happens at the very top of the draft. The first two picks, as we mentioned earlier, feel like they're locked in. Cooper Flagg going to Dallas. Dylan Harper, the point guard, combo guard from Rutgers, going to the San Antonio Spurs. After that, pick 3 with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, you
is
mentioned
where
Philly kind of starts the draft.
It's where the draft begins, in my opinion. They could potentially trade back. They could potentially take VJ Edgecombe. I know that Andrew had brought up the idea of them even with Ace Bailey not, you know, working out with them, that they could still potentially
take
the
kid. We don't care. We're still taking
based
the talent.
On talent, yeah. Right? So we'll just kind of have to see what happens. That's where the draft begins, is at pick 3, which should probably be around 7:25 tonight.
You know, we're looking at the mock draft here on Tankathon, and it's just funny to see the fact that the Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio Spurs, Philadelphia 76ers, they all beat the draft lottery odds and ended up with higher picks than expected, where unfortunately after that, everybody moved down.
Yeah, poor, you know, as far
poor
as
us. We were down 3 slots.
Utah, Washington, and the Pelicans all slid down pretty far, unfortunately.
Can't wait for the NBA draft about to tip off right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. 7 o'clock, the Dallas Mavericks will be on the clock. And like Charlie mentioned, the teams have 5 minutes for every pick to make. We'll be breaking it down as it happens right here. Also get into some more of our guests here at the Pelicans facility. Jim Eichenhofer, who writes for, also hosts the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, joins us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.